Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
6 minutes past 8 o'clock on a big Ween Wednesday. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan. Tim McKernan. Taking care of some station business. So, Doug, you and I have to put on our big boy pant.
Yeah.
Because it's time to do a little journalism.
All right.
A couple issues facing the city of St. Louis.
Seems that way.
The well, probably more than that, but for our purposes, the issue at hand is Scott Trade and the money needed for the renovations to bring it up to to bring it up to snuff. I'm going to say up to snuff.
Okay.
And then the possibility of the MLS relocating in St. Louis. I don't know if we've broached these subjects before, but we're about to do it.
I believe we've talked about it. We've kicked it around a little
bit. And you and I don't know anything, but Brian Felt is a senior reporter for the St. Louis Business Journal, and he knows a lot more than we do. Brian, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're
fine.
We're a little flummoxed. It's safe to say we're a little flummoxed, Doug, right? Because we all know that Scott Trade needs a little facelift, and can they get the money from the city to get it done? The thing that, to me, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, because I am not a smart person, but it seems like the fan base might commingle upgrades for Scott Trade and money for an MLS stadium, and to me, they're two separate things. The city owns Scott Trade, right? So them putting money into it would be like someone who owns a house but rents it out, upgrading a bathroom because it's in disrepair. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's essentially correct, and you're right in saying that you know, it's important to differentiate, you know, what even go back 18 months ago or whatever it might be, and differentiate between funding an NFL stadium between now and funding a Major League Soccer stadium, and then what we see now with the upgrades that are being requested for the Scott Trade Center. Based on the conference that we had yesterday, there was enough people there that it looked like there was buy-in from most of the parties that were needed. The mayor's office was there. Board of Aldermen President Lewis Reed was there. Some other city backers were there as well. And it looks like this type of thing would get done. It's not going to be a vote akin to what we see with Major League Soccer. It's just going to have to go through the process of Board of Aldermen, and that'll start, I guess, later this week, or maybe even today, possibly, when they file a board bill that will have all of the specifics in terms of what the upgrades will be and how they'll pay for it.
Yeah, it seems like everybody, all the principals are in favor of it now. Is there anything holding it back? Is there any hurdle they have to clear?
Well, certainly half, you know, I'm not sure about half, but a good number of the members of the Board of Aldermen are not exactly lining up and saying, hey, all these stadium projects are what we need to be focused on. You guys are, I'm sure, aware, you know, we're in a contested mayor's race in which several aldermen are vying for position there. And, you know, the talking points aren't necessarily we need to get money for stadiums. It's we need to fight crime and we need to get businesses moving into St. Louis. So it's a tough ask, but based on how I assess it, I don't think it's as tough of an ask as a MLS stadium, and it's certainly not as tough an ask as the NFL stadium.
How badly do you think Scott Trade is in need of an upgrade? I've seen some of the things that they're proposing, and to be honest with you, it seems pretty reasonable. And if it's a property that the city owns, you want to have the proper upkeep.
Yeah, you go in and look and see what these upgrades are, and it's not, you know, most of the stuff is not things that fans are necessarily going to see. Now, they've already made a handful of upgrades that the fans have seen or have experienced, which would be, you know, they've updated the Wi-Fi system. They've put in some new video production and control room things that have added to the quality of the in-game presentation. There's a few kind of, you know, big ticket items on this list of things that they want to get done, whether it's a scoreboard, new ribbon board. But then you get into a majority of the list, and it's, you know, it's really things for, you know, refrigerant piping for the ice rink, a workroom for NCAA press or event locker rooms. It's a lot of things that are kind of underground or the fans don't necessarily see firsthand. And, you know, I know you know well, have been there you know, very often, that these things necessarily haven't been upgraded since the 90s. So, you know, over time, these things do need the upgrade.
And Tom Stillman and his group, the point was, too, that these things have to be upgraded if you want to stay competitive for events other than Blues hockey, that this actually hurts the city of St. Louis and gives the edge elsewhere.
Yeah, everybody's vying for these events now, whether it's NCAA wrestling, Final Four, Frozen Four, concerts, you know, you name it. Anything to drive more revenue to these venues is needed by either the teams that own the venues or the cities that own the venues. Now, you know, the Blues have already lost out on the bid for the World Junior Hockey Championships earlier this year. They put a big effort into that, and I don't know specifically whether the World Juniors came back and said, listen, Scott Trade's not in the shape that we want it to be, so maybe we'll hold off for another year, but I'm sure it was at least a point in their answer to the Blues. There are going to be more events down the line, and Alex Rodrigo, a member of the Blues, GM of the Peabody Opera Center in Scott Trade, he even said that there's some language written in some of these contracts for these events that stipulate that some of these upgrades have to be made. So I guess we'll see how that happens. If the upgrades don't happen, I'm not sure if we're going to start seeing a big drop in events, but that's not to say it could be the case.
When do we find out if they get that $138 million? What's the next step here?
Well, it'll go through the Board of Aldermen process, and I guess they could, you know, they could ram it down. And I think Mayor Slay said they wanted to get it done before the end of this session. So, you know, we'd probably know here in the first quarter of the year.
And then the push to try to bring an MLS team to St. Louis, I guess it's in a holding pattern until the governor-elect takes office and clarifies things, even though he stood behind his position that he's not going to give millionaire welfare out.
Yeah, that's a whole other scenario, isn't it? From what I understand, I think the governor-elect and SCSDL have a meeting on the calendar, though I'm not sure when exactly that is. I would assume it's got to be probably Friday or Saturday. The governor-elect will be in St. Louis on Saturday as part of his thank you tour around the state. He'll be in Maryland Heights, which conveniently is located just down the street from Worldwide Technology, home of Jim Cavanaugh. So I don't know if that'll be the date or not, but certainly it kind of looks like it could be. We'll see what comes out of there, and you got to believe he's not going to change his stance on funding the stadium. So I think it's either one of two items or one or two sentiments is going to come out of the meeting. Either the governor-elect will say, I don't support this project at all, and in that case, I think you're looking at a real dire situation for the prospects of an MLS team. Or he could come out and say, listen, I support the project. It's a good stadium. I'd love to see it here in St. Louis, but I just can't have the state being supporting it financially. In that case, it's still kind of a challenge to push through, and we'll have to see where the SCSDL folks come up with additional funding. But I can tell you, you know, I spoke to Jim Cavanaugh last night, and you know, the more I talk to him, the more he kind of has, you know, scratching his head, thinking, you know, how are we going to get this thing done? But let's just say that the governor-elect comes out and says he'll support it, but not financially, and they have to go through and try to recoup some of that $40 million that they would have gotten from the state. There's still the aspect of the city vote. So they have to, I believe the deadline to get anything on the ballot is January 24th. And right now the board bill for the MLS financing in terms of the city part is in the Ways and Means Committee. So they have to get moving here pretty quickly on it. And, you know, right now it's not as much of a slam dunk as you might think.
What's your sense of the possibility of someone who has a lot of money wanting to get involved and sort of fill that gap for the ownership group?
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there that have deep pockets that probably want to get involved. I think it's a whole completely separate story when you think about, you know, getting another owner into this group. I don't think that's as easy as just saying, all right, let's bring in another new investor. You know, Major League Soccer has already vetted all of these guys, whether it's Jim Cavanaugh, Paul Edgerly, Dave Peacock, whoever it might be. They've vetted all these guys and have said, you know what, we want to work with this ownership group. We want them to be the group that brings soccer to St. Louis. I'm not sure how quickly they can move to say, all right, we're bringing in another one person or two people. And frankly, I don't know if there's going to be just one person that's going to come up with $40 million. You might be looking at three, four, five people, and that'd be diluting the ownership group. It'd be diluting the whole group as it appears to MLS, too. So it's a tough ask.
They're asking for a pretty big chunk of public money to build this stadium. Do you know how that compares to what investors in other cities have done to build their soccer stadiums? Or are they asking for as much as they are here in St. Louis?
Yeah, it's kind of gone all over the place. Trying to remember back to some of the research that I did. You know, when the league first started, a lot of these things were more publicly funded. But the more we get into it, so Kansas City is kind of the beacon of no public or of public funding because it was almost completely built with public funds. But everything after that, I think there's been five MLS soccer specific stadiums that have been built since Kansas City, and that includes some that are still in development. I think in such as places like Minnesota and Los Angeles. And those stadium projects have taken a little bit less. So all in all, the most recent where the trends are, I would say that the SCSTL is asking for a little bit more from the public than what is the current trend in Major League Soccer.
And are places like Kansas City getting a bang for their buck? Do they feel like they're getting good return from having MLS in the city for, you know, in return for the money they put into it?
I haven't looked into their financials, but everything I've heard from the league has been glowing reviews. Everything I've heard from fans and friends that I know in Kansas City have said that they're completely pleased with the product. Everything that I've heard from the SCSTL group has said that, listen, this has worked out for them. And, of course, why wouldn't it if it's majority publicly funded? But it looks as if that worked. But I think it's a little bit of a unique situation given the way they structured the public financing. It's not exactly similar to what we have here in St. Louis.
So the next big thing we're waiting for is to see what happens with Eric Greitens. True?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'm thinking at the end of this week or maybe early next week we'll know how that meeting went. And, yeah, I mean, we're butting up to the deadline here of trying to figure things out. I mean, they have to apply to the league for a team by January 31st. So things are going to have to start moving here, and they're going to have to start moving fast.
Looking for some certainty. Brian Felt, senior reporter for the St. Louis Business Journal. Brian, we thank you for your time.
Yeah, guys, we'll talk to you soon when the next stadium plan comes through. It's every other week now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, so it's just a holding pattern, Doug.
And it's sounding more pessimistic with each passing day.
Yeah, I just think the amount of money, I mean, for us, it's huge. But there are a lot of folks very affluent out there. And if it has to be funded privately, I don't think that's necessarily end of the road.
I had this posted on my Facebook wall. Or they tried to. But, Doug, you can't just post. Can people just post things on your Facebook wall?
I don't believe so, no.
So, yeah, I saw it, but it isn't on my Facebook wall. But it's a letter a gentleman by the name of Matt Long sent to me.
Oh, Longsy. Yeah.
You know him?
No.
Now, it's kind of...
Wow.
Long. Yeah, it's... I guess I can't... Well done, sir. I guess I can't read it. I'll post... I don't know. I'll post it to my Facebook wall. Or maybe it is on my Facebook... Doug, is it on my Facebook wall?
I don't know. I'm not looking at it.
You're constantly on his Facebook page.
I'm not.
I know. You want to see the latest meals and workouts I'm posting.
Yeah. Here's my lunch. Great, thanks.
And then I publicly proclaim my love to my wife over and over again because it's a sign of a secure and happy relationship.
You think that's what it is?
Mm.
I also post my classic car. Jazzed up Nova.
That
I
like to see.
I thought you weren't on Facebook. You always say you're not. You don't have an account.
I have several fake accounts.
Oh, Freedom Rings, yeah. 2017.
Just let people know that Jim Hayes is the best.
But I don't see this on your Facebook wall, Tim.
I'm tagged in it. It says, this is a very well-written letter to Eric Greitens. Have you seen this yet, Timothy Michael McKernan? And then people are commenting on it, so somehow they can see it, but nobody else can see it.
Well, maybe they can see it on his Facebook wall.
Oh, you mean Matt Long?
Yes, Longsy.
You know him.
I don't. Except that he wrote this fine letter.
Not vile.
It's not vile, not at all. I feel like it's really good, but I feel like reading it would take up a lot of time, and I would lose people in a short
attention
span. How
about giving us the bullet points? You can do that on the fly. You're that good.
I agree.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Dated January 2nd, 2017.
Just bullet points now. Don't read the whole thing.
Governor-elect Greitens. My name is Matt Long.
Longsy.
That's plenty, Tim.
So, Doug, you get the idea.
Okay. And from there, he went on to explain his point. Okay. Well, that was the bullet point for sure.
Good. I agree with him.
He works at Worldwide Technology. He cited his experience with Jim Cavanaugh, who, of course, is leading the charge on the MLS project. And it was just really well written, and it cites a number of things Cavanaugh does. Because I do think oftentimes, and maybe it's legitimate, maybe it's not, this is an official, I feel like it was in 2012 anyway, what I would consider to be a conservative talking point, although I think there's truth to it, so calling it a talking point dismisses it, which is not my intent, but to demonize people who have been successful. Doug, you shared that opinion during the Romney campaign, if I recall successfully, specifically, that people would demonize those who were successful. And so then you would have during debates, specifically Republican candidates, trying to out-humble their competitor by saying, well, my father came from this, or my mother did this.
I remember Joe Biden doing it, too.
It wasn't designed to get into that crap.
Well, you said specifically Republican candidates.
There wasn't Joe Biden running in 2012. I'm citing 2012 because I felt like that was when it was discussed on this show.
We get the gist.
Okay. So it was not designed to get into the point is what I am taking is a conservative line, which is people who have done well for themselves oftentimes are either demonized or feel like they have to apologize and then like out humble someone else
as part of class warfare.
You're the bad guy.
Whatever it is.
Yes. You've made money. Right.
And so this letter cites what Jim Cavanaugh, you know, and I don't know what his background specifically is. I can only cite what has been posted on my Facebook wall or shared on my Facebook wall, whatever the hell's going on here, about how he comes from a humble beginning in North St. Louis County. He and Dave Stewart founded and continue to lead Worldwide Technology right here in St. Louis. Worldwide Technology has been recognized as one of the 100 best places to work 5 years running by Fortune Magazine, and more recently by Glassdoor as one of the 5 best places to work in 2017. And then it cites in a number of ways that Jim Cavanaugh has given back to the community, and then specific examples. This is coming from an employee with all of the things that he has done, and a few of these ring true because, you know, as a business owner, I experienced the healthcare increases, and I'm sympathetic to that. And it's one of those things that unless you're in that position, like, you know, 7 years ago, I'm just like, I don't understand any of this stuff. I still don't know if I understand it. I just now can speak to it from being on the other side of the desk. And it cites increasing employee investment for healthcare coverage only 2% when premiums for Worldwide Technology have risen over 200%. Over the past 15 years, increasing profit-sharing bonuses in years when the company exceeds budget targets, stepping up to challenge for charity, playing a major role in bringing NPower to St. Louis to provide free technical training and career development, investment in STEM student forum for St. Louis area high school students, creation of a $2 million community give-back campaign in 2017. The point is that oftentimes people who have been absurdly successful are portrayed as hoarding money and acting in their own self-interest to try and continue to hoard money in whatever way they would do so. He is presenting that this is not corporate welfare for millionaires. This is somebody who wants to do what he believes is the greater good in St. Louis. And here is an example from somebody who has worked for him of all of the things that he has done in which he didn't need to do them, but it was in the greater good of the happiness of his quality employees. And I believe that excerpt speaks volumes. I really do. And it gets into the element of public funding needing to play an important role in the revitalization effort. Represents a vital opportunity to take our city and state in a direction of growth and progress so we can continue to not only survive but thrive. This is taking a plot of land in downtown St. Louis that needs redevelopment and creating a revenue source, excitement, and job center. Timing is important. The time for this is now. There are no less than 10 cities vying for an MLS franchise, all of which are willing to establish a public-private partnership to build the infrastructure required to enter the league. If St. Louis fails to do this now, we won't get another opportunity, and our city will continue to fall behind other Midwest cities of similar size. Don't hold our city and state back from growth. It's about the people and the community. Sit down with Jim Kavanaugh with an open mind. Stop playing the very politics that you ran against in your gubernatorial campaign. Get to know him, and you'll see a passion and energy for our city that I have been privileged to witness and inspired by my entire career. Find a way to make this work for the betterment of our community. Sincerely and hopefully, Matt Long. Matt Long.
Longsy.
Yes. So I guess I can share this.
I'll share it,
and that way people can see it. You can, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you can see it.
It's a well-written letter. I'm not so certain that, that just because someone wants to own a professional franchise, as Matt Long points, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily just trying to get rich off it.
He's already rich.
Yeah, and I don't know if the MLS is something that's going to take him to the next level. I can see how someone's doing this because they think it's for the greater good of the city and putting the city in a position to continue to grow. On the same, on the same thought, I can also see how a politician who may or may not have run on this, we really haven't found out a lot about it. But if you're saying no, we're not putting public money into new stadiums to enhance the wealth of guys who are already wealthy, to me, that's not a position that's undefensible, but I'm looking for something in the middle where both sides can maybe work something.
You can certainly make passionate arguments for both sides.
Yeah,
I mean, Greitens is the governor for the 3 million Missourians who don't live anywhere in St. Louis and would never go to a soccer game and have no interest at all in doling out millions of dollars for a soccer stadium here. And at the same time, if a city is going to continue to grow and move ahead and compete, you need to shell out some money. So
guys,
it's a tough argument.
I've been at Worldwide Technology for about 3 years. Everything Matt said is right. Jim Kavanaugh is one of the most generous and humble CEOs out there. It's from the Crestwood Coyote.
I do. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that he's a great guy. I don't think that's really the sticking point here. It's just a matter of do they have the money to spend for projects.
I would agree with you that it's not the sticking point. For people who, as you both just said, when it comes to this MLS issue and specifically public funding for stadiums, are on the fence because I think a lot of people see both sides of it. I certainly do, and I think a lot of other people do, and I'm not saying seeing both sides of it because you can always position your argument. I think most rational people see both sides of it, which of course means I'm now going to present my point. And then call it rational. So it's a very sophomore argumentative tactic. The premise is for those who are thinking, maybe this is just a way for guys who already have a bunch of money to get in on something and benefit themselves by having the public fund it. And I think that is where a lot of people come from, which I understand. Here is somebody who has been in a position to hoard more money, but he has people who have worked for him for a number of years saying he has been very successful and he has taken a route that is less beneficial to him from a financial standpoint for the greater good of his company. And so if you can apply that to this situation, then what I would say is it works or can work, depending on your perspective, that he is not acting in something that he believes is going to be a great investment, and then all of a sudden now he is going to have more money, and that's what he is out for, or an ego thing. But he is acting in what he believes is in the greater good of St. Louis, not because St. Louis needs a soccer team so much as it helps restore, renovate this particular area of St. Louis. And furthermore, what his comment was in response to Eric Greitens' comments that were made during the Winter Classic 2 days ago, and I'm saying that from a timing standpoint, not because they took place at Busch Stadium, they were made in Delwood, is he said, it's a shame because he doesn't understand the return on investment for the state. And that was to me, that was a biting comment that wasn't intended to be biting. And my reasoning for saying that is, it's just like he's shaking his head. He's not pissed at him. He's just like, he doesn't understand, and it's exasperating. You know, I heard Frank Cusimano talking yesterday during the Hollywood Casino press box, and he was talking about how some of these guys, such as Peacock and Kavanaugh, who have been spending a lot of time on trying to get things for St. Louis to get us back, are getting exasperated by running into walls, whether it be from a lack of leadership or just somebody drawing a line in the sand and not even attempting to compromise or work with them. And this would be an example. He doesn't even understand the return on investment. And that's an odd position to take. So if you're sitting there going, yeah, this is just another really rich guy trying to get even richer, I understand that. The reason why I think what Matt Long's letter, why it has some value to me, and everybody else, of course, is welcome to interpret it however they want, is he's pointing out Jim Cavanaugh has done a number of things with his own business that were in the betterment of his people versus his own individual interests. And so, therefore, it is my belief that Jim Cavanaugh is acting in this case in the betterment of St. Louis and not trying to do this to line his own pockets.
And I think, I believe that I want a stadium here, and I believe that, you know, if the tax money goes somewhere else, they'll probably waste it anyway, so why not have a soccer team? Maybe that's a childish thing. But it strikes me that you can believe all that and believe that they're working toward the betterment and not necessarily trying to enrich themselves. And I still think it can be a rational position to hold that, you know, based on a lot of studies, depending on which ones you read, that there isn't always, it's not a slam dunk that the city or municipality will get the money back. You can still believe that their intent is good, but still be against public funding.
I understand. Okay, I understand that. But Kavanaugh's response to Greitens wasn't that. He specifically said he does not understand the return on investment, and that is a different line to take than this would be good for the city. Return on investment, a specific term illustrating that from his position, it is a good deal.
And it may well be. I'm just saying that there have been other cases cited that I've read where they expected a return that wasn't necessarily there.
Guys, Greitens' comment of, quote, backdoor dealings, end quote, comments are very uneducated when this ownership group has been very upfront and transparent since day one. That's where the frustration lies. Let's see what Tony Messenger has to say, because he wrote a column about it today in the Post-Dispatch. Actually, I read it last night. It's up on stltoday.com. My point is, you can go read it on stltoday.com. It's always great to have Tony Messenger from the Post-Dispatch and KTRS, the Big 550, with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Hello, Tony.
Gentlemen, good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. It's always great to have you.
Another round of stadium talks.
It's always stadium talk, it seems. What do you think of what we've seen take place over the last 48 hours? Were you surprised by Greitens' comments and when they were made?
I wasn't particularly surprised because he campaigned against some forms of tax credit giveaways. And he is somebody who, when he is in campaign mode, just sort of goes full blast and says, this is what I believe. And, you know, I'm running through the wall. Are you with me or not? But he's also shown in his life, in his brief political career, and in his one campaign that he's run for governor, that his positions have a certain amount of wiggle room and flexibility. So I think it's important, whether it's talking about Scott Trade, whether it's talking about MLS, whether it's talking about the convention center or some new stadium project that comes along the pike somewhere in Missouri during his tenure as governor, however long it is, to say that, you know, the welfare for millionaires sounds good and it resonates with a lot of people for a lot of good reasons. But until the rubber hits the road and they have some meetings and things move on, I wouldn't read as much into it as some are. He's still going to meet with the soccer folks, Kavanaugh and Peacock and Edgerly, probably this week, within the next 7 days or so. Tom Stillman told me yesterday, the chairman of the Blues, that they have been meeting and are meeting with the state. He didn't say Greitens specifically, but he said with the state, and he hopes to get Greitens on board. And they do have state funding in their plan for expansion. And so I don't think that the door is entirely closed on that. I think the politics is much more difficult, and I think nuance is going to end up rearing its head as it relates to what ultimately happens. For instance, I can see a situation where tax credits are issued to clean up that MoDOT intersection east of Jefferson and 40. They mm-hmm. plan to do that anyway. They have to do it. It's got to be made available for some sort of development. That's going to cost some state money, whether it goes to a stadium or something else. So there is a way to massage that situation where state money is spent on an appropriate state use, i.e. cleaning up a former state intersection that's no longer used, and making it available for economic development. There's a way for Governor Greitens to make that happen and not call it welfare for millionaires, because none of the money goes to the stadium specifically. There is a way for Governor Greitens and or the legislature to recognize the economic impact of Scott Trade Center, an existing city asset that creates tax revenue for the state, more actually for the state than it does for the city, at least in sales tax, and find a way to make some sort of state investment, whether it goes into the tourism and convention part of what that building does, or the Peabody part of what that building does, or the infrastructure around that building. You know, there's a transportation center right across the street from that building, south of Clark. There are a lot of ways for that state investment to be made in a way in which you can say either politically or absolutely legitimately that money isn't going to Stillman, or that money isn't going to Kavanaugh, but it's an investment that's being made in economic development in the region. So, you know, I look forward to those talks taking place because, like you folks, I am a sports fan. I believe some public investment in public sports facilities is, I look at it the same way as my taxes that go to the zoo and go to the botanical gardens and go to the art museum and the history museum. My family goes to the zoo a heck of a lot more than it goes to the science center or the botanical gardens or either of the museums. But we've been to all of them, and we appreciate going to them for free, and we appreciate the economic development and the cultural opportunities it provides our city. And as a sports fan, I look at sports facilities in a similar fashion. The difference is you are talking about very wealthy people making, I think, sometimes a false and inappropriate case that, oh, well, we're not really making any money here. We're not really as rich as you think we are. Sometimes I think the case that they try to make is unfortunate, but it is an investment in the city and the city's economic welfare. And so the question then becomes, how much investment? What's the right balance? You know, where does the money come from? All of those are good questions that make various proposals good or bad. But on a basic philosophical level, I believe that those investments ultimately are good for our region. And I think there's still some opportunity for the state to play a role, even with Governor-elect Greitens' fairly strong comments.
In terms of the MLS proposal and in terms of just dollars and cents, regardless, because I agree with you, I think that's just part of, you know, what the city can offer in terms of, you know, culture. Sports is a big part of that. But just in terms of dollars and cents, from what you know now, and we don't have all the details, do you think something like an MLS stadium and a new team in St. Louis makes financial sense for the city, regardless of, you know, what has to be put into it?
Well, not regardless. I think there is a level of investment, of public investment, that makes sense and doesn't make sense. And I do believe, in as I look at the proposal that was made by the MLS, or the SCSTL group, I think they shot for too much. I think they asked for too much public money. Here's the thing. I wouldn't be surprised. My column today talking about Scott Trade and a little bit about MLS points to the fact that one of the struggles St. Louis has compared to these cities that Tom Stillman mentioned and that the convention people mentioned, Nashville, Indianapolis, Louisville, those are all cities that used to be divided into cities and counties like St. Louis and have been unified over the past few decades. And they have a strong leader that you can go to negotiate with. I think St. Louis has a negotiating problem. I don't think it has a strong leader that sits down with these groups when they come in and says, here's what the deal is going to be. You want $80 million? No, it's going to be 60. And you know what? We're going to spread it out over the city and the county. And in fact, we're going to use our political power in the city and the county to ask St. Charles and Franklin and Jefferson and a couple of counties across the river to join in too, because you know what? We know what the numbers are. We know how many of their fans come from those counties, and this is a regional investment. St. Louis does not have that strong leader that can do that. And so what happens is we divide between the city and the county. And because there's a division between the city and the county, there's a lack of strength bringing in those other counties or bringing in the state. And so St. Louis is at a disadvantage in these kinds of negotiations. I believe that the soccer folks came in with a number and expected to have it negotiated down, and they may still expect to have it negotiated down, but nobody's negotiated yet. And the biggest mistake they made, I think, is when they came in with the $200 MLS investment number, and then it got dropped to 150. And they were pretty darn sure it was going to be dropped to 150. They were playing a little bit of a semantic game out of respect for the MLS with that number. But they didn't then make themselves available for negotiation in dropping that number, and in fact said, no, that number doesn't really affect us. We were already prepared for that. Well, that they lost a PR battle at that point, and I think that's one reason why there seems to be at least some sentiment in the community that isn't embracing MLS. But on a purely cultural level, we saw what happened with the Blues here with the Winter Classic over this last weekend. This is a soccer community. Soccer is in St. Louis' historical DNA, more than Nashville or Indianapolis or Louisville or so many of the other communities that want to do business with the MLS. So I believe ultimately, done right, MLS can be as successful here as the Blues, not as the Cardinals, but as the Blues, at least, as it relates to being a team that is a good cultural fit with St. Louis. And I believe St. Louis is big enough and strong enough to support a third professional team, particularly if it's the MLS. The question is how we get there. And I think we're at a point where the current MLS ownership group, if they're serious about going forward and meeting that MLS deadline of the end of the month to make an application, they're going to have to rethink a little bit what their proposal is, because I think they asked for a little bit too much public money and were not prepared for some of the political turns that their proposal made.
Since we can't ever seem to get the city and the county together, and it may never happen, doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of momentum for it now. You think there's?
I disagree. I think there's a lot of momentum for it, and it is going to happen in my lifetime. I think it's going to take a while, but I would disagree. Maybe I'm naive, but I think it's going to happen.
Well, I would hope so. Where do you see the momentum happening now?
There's more momentum than there's been in this community's history. You have two nonprofits that have spent a tremendous amount of time and effort, and in one case, a lot of money over the last 2 years, Better Together and STL Strong, two separate independent groups that are pushing towards it. You have a lot of community leaders, former county executive Gene McNary among them, who recognize that the community is stronger if it's unified. I believe most of the civic leaders, many of whom were at the event at Scott Trade yesterday and I spoke to about this issue, recognize that these sorts of big projects, forget stadiums, mass transit, roads, whatever it is, any sort of economic development project is much easier in a unified city-county situation than what St. Louis deals with right now. I think the business community understands it. I think conservative business leaders, I talked to a guy on Twitter last night who's a commercial real estate guy who's very much in favor of it, because the division, all the municipalities, costs him money, makes it hard for him to do business as a landlord. So I happen to think there's a fair amount of momentum. Now, obviously, I'm very biased. I've been pushing for this in my column and previously on the editorial page for a couple of years. But I think it seeps into a lot of conversations amongst community leaders. And I'd like to think it's going to happen in the next decade.
What is the position And I know you don't agree with it, of course, as you just said that you've been advocating it for a while. But what is the position of those who oppose it?
So the primary people that you talk to who oppose it are municipal mayors who say, our city runs great. Our neighbors like having a small town mayor. They think that their snowplow stuff works better than the city next to us. They like having that local control. And so the people that I talk to that are opposed to unification have a vested interest in keeping the cities and the region and the city and the county divided. I think there are some people who are opposed to it because of historical racial divide in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. There are some people in the county who think it's just a city bailout. They need to start looking at the county budget. The county budget's struggling as well. The entire region's budget is struggling. Look in the paper regularly about various school districts that are struggling, and that's a sign as well that the regional division is not causing our overall economic pie to grow at the level that it should, and instead we're nipping at ourselves, dividing ourselves into a place where none of us are particularly economically sound, except for a couple of municipalities that have tremendous property tax bases. So when I talk to people, the people that are primarily opposed are bureaucrats who have a vested interest in keeping the status quo.
So how would we ultimately decide on that? Would that be a vote around the region or a vote among mayors? Well,
there's a couple different ways to talk about it. I know that at least some folks have researched the possibility of a statewide vote of some sort of constitutional amendment. Some folks locally find that offensive, but one of the things that I point to is that the city was divided in 1875 originally because of a constitutional convention that led to the opportunity for that division to happen. And then there was also a local vote in the city and the county. I think ultimately it is quite possible because of the legal complications and all cities and counties being ultimately functions of the state, that there's going to be some sort of statewide solution. You may have the legislature put something on the ballot. You may have somebody like a Rex Singfeld put something on the ballot. There may be some legislative activity that makes the vote easier to take place. That's what happened in Louisville, for instance. Their legislature passed a bill that basically took policing away from small municipalities and allowed the city of Louisville and the county that surrounds it to create a larger, more unified, more qualified police force. There has been talk in St. Louis of doing something like that, both in terms of policing and fire protection, because we have so many fire protection districts as well. So I think you may have a public safety element of it, and I think if the public safety folks get behind it, that is one big step towards changing the public dialogue. And it's one of the reasons I wrote about it today related to the statement, related to the Scott Trade Center, because the business folks who are involved in those big deals, they get it. They think our division makes deals like this harder, and it cuts both ways. You can argue that the business folks want there to be one strong politician to deal with so that they can cut these deals, and that's true, but one strong politician backed by an effective, meaningful legislative body, Board of Aldermen, whatever it is, and voters of an entire city, county, region, rather than just 300,000 of them, all of a sudden has more power to cut a better deal for taxpayers as well. And so I think it cuts both ways.
Tony Messenger, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines on 590 The Fan, KFNS. I ask you this every time you're on once every month or 6 weeks, I think, with us here on the program regarding the mayoral race, because I think people would love to see a leader potentially emerge from that, not to say the leader has to emerge from the mayoral race. How do you see the mayoral race at this point in time in the first week of January, 4 months out?
It seems to me that that the race is congealing around three candidates, Lyda Cruz and Tashara Jones and Lewis Reed, not necessarily in that order. Lewis Reed was on the stage yesterday backing the Scott Trade proposal. And so that puts him in a position where he's now making stadium investment part of his campaign. He's going to be the one that files the bill to try to get the Scott Trade investment in. Tashara Jones, on the other hand, the city's treasurer, came out against funding for MLS, agreeing with Governor-elect Eric Greitens the other day. So she's established a position herself. I'm not sure that Lyda Cruzan has taken a position on either stadium funding proposal yet. But I do believe that stuff is going to play a role in the race. I think all three of them have a legitimate constituency. Both Jones and Reed have run citywide and won citywide. Cruzan has not, but is going to be well-funded and has a lot of the sort of city establishment folks lining up behind her. I think it's going to be one of those tight three-way races. I would be loath to predict it, but I think of the candidates that I have seen out there campaigning right now, those are the three that I would say are the top three candidates right now.
And I just got this text into the show, and you know how wonderful our text inbox is.
Oh, I love your text line.
I don't care.
Clip that off, Plowhawk. But this one is not a picture of a bottomless Mark McGuire. It's actually a question. Does Tony see any political folks out there right now who could be that strong leader?
You know, I don't know, but I think that's one of the reasons why you have to unify. You think about how we do elections here, and we have these April elections in the city of St. Louis, in which our largest core part, you know, of our region gets very small turnout. There's 28 wards. People are competing in a very, very small area for a few votes. And then you have a county executive race that is much larger, but isn't truly the county executive for the entire area because its largest core of its city, St. Louis, doesn't even vote. And then you have all these 90 municipalities in which, you know, you have politicians competing for these mayoral and alderman positions that don't pay anything and give you a little bit of power in terms of how you pass money and that sort of thing out. I think a unified government all of a sudden creates the opportunity for stronger leaders to come out. And if that happened, I think the region benefits.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the county is not just, you know, our votes in the city are all just Democrats. Our votes in the county, at least there is an opportunity for a Republican to win a county council seat and for a Republican to compete and having won previously at the county executive level. I think if you bring the city and the county together and all the municipalities and we're all voting together and we create some new legislative body and we're electing one, you know, CEO executive, whether it's a mayor or county executive or whatever, I think you create an opportunity where some stronger leaders probably emerge.
I think you're right on that.
Our division works against us.
I think you're right. I really do think you're right on it. As you explain that, I totally see the logic on it, and I think you're right. Well, it's always good to have you on the program. We got to wrap it up, but always good to have you on the show. This topic, as you made reference to at the outset, continues to come up, and it really gets a discussion going on the health of the region more so than specifically a professional soccer team. And I think anytime you can have that discourse, it's productive. So,
thanks, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. And I really recommend the column to our audience. If you haven't read it, stltoday.com, Tony Messenger this morning on the Post-Dispatch. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Talk to you soon.
There he is, Tony Messenger, the Post-Dispatch. And also you can hear him on KTRS. The Big 550. Your thought, you know, I throughout the course of that interview in the text inbox, the cat, I saw you had it open, and I know you don't like to venture into the text inbox all that often yourself, but there are a lot of people kind of reminded me of the Ray Hartman evolution for some of our audience members who used to condemn his appearances because they just dismissed him because they said he was liberal, and he is, but therefore whatever he said was dismissed, which I completely disagree with, and I would say the same thing if it were somebody who were completely conservative, and then you just dismiss the message because of that. But there were a number of people throughout the course of the interview texting in, usually I can't stand what he has to say, but I really agree with what he has to say today.
I thought it was apolitical, this discussion.
Yeah.
I would love to see the city and county get together or do the borough thing that McNary suggested. But even if you have strong leaders, it doesn't mean we're all going to be unified. We have strong leaders in the White House, and still the country's cut right down the middle. You're still going to have half the people like it, half the people dislike it.
Well, I agree with that part of it.
It might help in the negotiating process to bring things to St. Louis.
But I do think voice. What he said, and I honestly, I hadn't thought of it, and it's a rather, I think anyway, obvious statement, that you have a better chance for strong leadership to emerge if you have the county and the city unified. Now, that doesn't mean, therefore, the leader emerges from the county, but then you have an opportunity, at least an opportunity, as he said, not necessarily a probability in the sense that it becomes likely, but an opportunity, whereas there is no opportunity right now in the city for a Republican to win. And that's not even in play. You have a number of people who are Republicans but are voting in the Democratic primary, which is essentially the mayoral election.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Republican has no shot to win.
There are
in the city.
There are just some issues, and stadium funding for wealthy people is one of them, that it is just so hard to get everybody to agree on it. I mean, look what the DeWitts and that group did with the Cardinals. They bought the franchise for like $150 million and sold the parking garages for $90 million. So they basically got the Cardinals for about $60 million. 20 years later, it's worth over $1 billion. They've made almost $1 billion in 20 years off that team. Everybody loves the DeWitts. Great people. What they've done is fantastic. Ballpark Village is fantastic. But do they still need public money to do things? There's be some people say that's outrageous to give them more public money. And yet, nothing gets done unless they get the public money to do it. It's a really hard nut to crack.
The thing that Tony said that struck me is that if you do combine city and county, then it's one-stop shopping, and from a negotiating, whatever leadership determines, it would seem, as he pointed out, you sit down and you go, okay, here's what we can do, as opposed to having the city and the county, and you have one person with the juice to make it happen.
Yeah, instead of city, county, state, where it only takes one of them to say, we're not going to put any money into that, and it might kill the project. In fact, the county said no to the Rams stadium, didn't they? Didn't Stenger say, no, we're not putting any money towards the Rams? Stadium project? I believe that he did.
Not sure.
And now you've got the governor saying we're not going to put any money into this thing for the city, and that may just kill it.
Guys, the borough thing won't happen. Ladue, Town and Country, Frontenac, pick your country club, city will not be a part of it. They see it as throwing their property tax dollars into a black hole, although I think it could be worth it. They would have to be forced to sign on to it. That's from Danny Tanner.
Well, Danny Tanner.
Guys, there has to be something behind this stance by Greitens. That's from Steve in Wildwood.
What do you mean there has to be something behind?
You'll have to ask Steve in Wildwood. Perhaps Steve, he would like to call in and elaborate. I don't think it's necessarily fair to insinuate nefarious motivation.
It's a pretty rational stance to say we're not.
Because there are a number of people who agree with the stance. So, I mean, you're welcome to expound, but I don't think that's fair to Eric Greitens.
Right now, I don't think there is a lot of public.
This is coming from somebody who was very on board with Chris Koster, but I don't think that's fair to Eric Greitens.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of public appetite right now to give money for stadiums just based on what Stan Kroenke just did, that whole episode. Not that this is exactly the same. Clearly it isn't, but just everybody has such a bad taste in their mouth for thinking that we're going to support people like Stan Kroenke, that why would we do that again? Even though Kavanaugh and his group might be completely different, might be 180 degrees different than anything Stan Kroenke would have done in this area, there's still a lot of people who are saying, well, why would we do that in the first place?
I'm just so jaded that when they say, well, there's money that it could go to more important things, I don't think that money would ever get to the important things anyway, so why not have a soccer stadium? Again, maybe it's a childish view, but I think I'm a creature of my experience. That's how I see it.
Yeah, well, I hope somehow they work it out, but right now it doesn't look like it's heading in the right direction, does it?
I always enjoy Tony's interviews, even if I don't always agree. I just enjoy, you know, some of the points he makes you think, and I really do think that there's something, because I do think about that. When it comes to St. Louis area leadership, it's not really fair to go back to the 1980s, but 1990s, 2000s, 2017, here we are. In my opinion, anyway, I don't know what yours would be, Doug. I don't recall somebody for the local element where you go, yeah, that guy or woman really, I buy in. And even if I'm not necessarily aligned 100% with the policy, I think that person is acting in the greater good and gets people on board, is a leader. I don't know. I don't know if I'm... that wouldn't be the case with Freeman Bosley. That would not be the case with Clarence Harmon. I don't believe that's the case with Mayor Slay. These are not personal attacks by any means. I just don't think that that has been or is the case. But at the same time, all I'm doing there is focusing on mayors. Oftentimes, you can have leadership emerge from a position outside of politics or specifically, of course, a position outside of the mayor's office. So if you can include a larger net and also include people who would be, who would be Republican, which is not an option in the city of St. Louis in 2017, then you are benefiting from that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the structure of government is set up so that it's hard for one guy to take the bull by the horns and say, we're going to get this done. It's hard. I think in the city, it's more run by the Board of Aldermen than it is by the mayor. He can say all he wants, but everything's got to get by the Board of Aldermen. And that's not one guy, that's many.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't big, huge stadium projects going on in the county. Tried to make that happen to save the football Cardinals. That didn't work. It's just hard with our structure to have one big leader stand up and say, I'm in charge here, and I'm going to make this happen.
Doug, why do you hate St. Mary's? It's from the Wright City Lemming.
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, it's home of the Dragons. I think Weezer went to school there. South, but we haven't discussed it
South
yet.
South Grand.
No. We were going to get to St. Mary's.
No, he took a veiled shot.
I haven't mentioned St. Mary's in probably a year.
Do you miss talking about the Dragons?
I do, a little bit, yeah. They wear green down there.
You got a rant that you've been saving up?
Not really, no. I don't have any beef against St. Mary's.
I can see both sides, and I'm not sure I could pick a stance until I see in depth this ROI they're talking about. It seems to most people have chosen a side in the situation without many details.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Soulard Twink Boy.
If we see what the state's going to get out of it once it's built, it would be easier to say, well, yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, if the state's going to...
Well, I get voters doing that because that just is the nature of the beast. And I don't necessarily fault people for that because when it gets down to it, people have other things that they either have to take care of or they just want to take care of. And I can sit here and complain about it all day long, but realistically, it's not going to change. However, I do expect more from the governor. Your thoughts. 855-CUB-TALK. 855-CUB-TALK. Hey, a listener rewards deal for $5.90 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL.com. Listeners, support the sponsors and save a brand new deal. The Gateway Fighting Series, live professional kickboxing coming to Chaffetz Arena on January 7th. Pick up a pair of tickets in the second row on the floor for 50% off only for KFNS listener rewards. Soccer fans, you can still get a 5-ticket St. Louis Ambush Flex Pack for just $5 per ticket. Log on to InsideSTL.com and click on listener rewards today. We welcome you to email in for our Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We're giving away 2 tickets for the Gateway Fighting Series. Hot Shots email today. Tullamore Dew is the official Irish whiskey of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Pour yourself a glass and enjoy a Tullamore Dew. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSalle, involved with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.